RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums
and nobody else to introduce.
Just Beans.
I think that we should keep that format because it's really cool. People are just like, how long do they stay silent for before they
until what happens?
That was a really good show Friday.
I loved it. It's great.
It was really good. And there's a lot going on, you know, because we skipped over basically like the current events sort of stuff on Friday to talk about all the things we talked about with Rich, which was really great. But there's some stuff to catch up on. And something that I just saw just now and I sent to you, it makes me sick to my stomach. And it's sort of like a wider issue than just this, given, you know, we just experienced all this crazy Stasi style censorship over the past weekend, which we'll get into also. But this representative, his name is Brian Sims. He's from Pennsylvania. He's a state representative in Pennsylvania. And he goes to his local Planned Parenthood, and there's one lone woman standing out there. She's an elderly woman. And he harasses her on video for 8 minutes straight. Mm. And I want to just play the beginning of it for you. And then one particular section that I wrote down the time for at 4 minutes and 20 seconds, because it is disgusting. You agree, right? I mean,
yeah, no, there's when I see stuff like this, I really just don't, I lose whatever kind of faith I had as far as there actually being a way to reconcile anything that's going on socially right now. Like I don't, there's nothing inside of me that wants to debate a man like this. I want to pounce. I want to maul him. That's what I want to do, just to be honest with you. So, I don't know. Go ahead, play it.
Yeah. He's a surprise. He's a Democrat. If a Republican did this to anybody, can you imagine? Listen to this, guys. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. Representative Brian Sims here, and I'm once again out in front of Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania. It's not only in my district, it's the most heavily protested Planned Parenthood, I believe, in the country. And today's protester, now, she is an old white lady who's going to try to avoid showing you her face.
Oh, white lady,
laws, yeah.
Luckily, to protect her from being out here, also protect me from showing you who she is. And so my hope is that you'll donate $100 for every extra hour that this woman is out here telling people what's right for their bodies. So I have a couple questions for you, ma'am. How many children have you clothed today?
Whoa.
I'm sorry, I missed your answer. How many children have you clothed today? How about how many children have you put shoes on their feet today?
Yeah.
Have you fed any children today, or have you just stood out in front of a Planned Parenthood?
I'm going to stop it so you can comment.
Yeah. Planned Parenthood. How many shoes have Planned Parenthood put on the feet of children? Planned Parenthood takes feet off of children. It's unbelievable. Oh, sorry.
Whatever. It's true.
It's unbelievable. This twerp. I'm Representative Brian Sims. This twerp.
It doesn't get any better either. It just gets progressively worse throughout this video. And this poor woman is just like walking back and forth. At two points, she's like, get out of my face. Stop filming me. Cut it out. He doesn't care. He keeps on telling her how disgusting she is and how ashamed she should be.
You know, the other thing gets me too is he says that she should, she's out there telling people what to do with their bodies. Meanwhile, Planned Parenthood and the party that controls them and siphons taxpayer dollars right into the pockets of this organization, they stand by policies that actually limit the amount of information and the amount of perspective that people, women and men who walk into Planned Parenthood asking for consultation about a pregnancy that might have been unplanned or what to do. They want to limit the amount of information and perspective that these parents have when they go into Planned Parenthood. So whereas this woman, God knows whatever she, what she was even saying, but whatever she was doing was she was definitely providing something that Planned Parenthood doesn't, because they can't even bring themselves to show a woman the heartbeat of their child because they know it actually might sway them from destroying the baby.
Isn't that horrible? Isn't that horrible? Think about that. It's true. Oh my God. It's just gross. I'm going to play a little bit more in the beginning here, and then we'll go to the other clip I wanted to play, because there was something there that struck me more so than the rest of this. This is just
shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do. Huh? If you're here about the children, you can pray at home for children. It's probably the same place that you could feed a child, but you're not. Instead, you're out here shaming people for something that they have a constitutional right to do. Who'd have thought that an old white lady would be out in front of a Planned Parenthood telling people what's right for their bodies? Shame on you. Shame on you for hiding your face at the same time that you're shaming other people. Again, the same laws that protect me protect you, and that's okay. You're allowed to be out here. That doesn't mean that you have a moral right to be out here. Shame what's on you. What you're doing here is disgusting.
I want to tear his throat out.
You have no business being out here.
I want to tear his throat out. I want to tear the prick's throat out.
It would
I really
be
do.
Bad enough if he was just like another activist, but he is, he's her. He represents her. She's his constituent. She's technically his boss.
I want to tear the prick's throat out. And for him to sit in what's right for a person's body. You want to know something? For as hard as it is for a woman or a couple to go through a miscarriage, that is actually what was naturally right for a body. If a body feels, or if during gestation there is something wrong with the pregnancy, the body will sadly reject it naturally. That might be even in the vaguest term of saying the right thing for the body. But where, anywhere, can you actually say, I'm going to go in here and forcibly remove a pregnancy, and that's going to, what if, like, it's health promoting or something like that? The way that they speak is just disgusting. And I'm not even coming from this from a religious standpoint. You don't need to go to church every Sunday to see that there's something morally wrong with this kind of flippant approach toward life and death.
I agree with you, and after this, we're gonna look at something else that happened over the weekend as well. In this same vein, I know it's a fiery way to start off the show, but this is important stuff. I think we really need to talk about. Here's the last clip that I have where he starts kind of, you know, he's giving her a hard time about her religion.
Actually, you're doing the right thing. Let's keep walking down the block. We can talk about this. We can talk about your Christian faith, about how your Christian faith believes in shaming people, about how your Christian faith believes in telling people that you know what's right for their bodies, about how your Christian faith tells you that you know what's right for their families. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Camera out of my
no,
face.
No. The same rights that allow you to be out here allow me to be out here. Shame on you. You have a problem protesting in public? Don't protest in public. If you know who this woman is, and if you can give me her address, we'll protest out in front of her home. Let's go protest out in front of her house and tell her what's right for her body. Please.
Now he's threatening basically to go to this woman's home, figure out who she is. He's basically asking the people that are watching that to dox this woman so that they can all go out and stalk her in her home. And at the end, he says, how dare you, you know, something about her religion and 400 Catholic priests that have been brought up on molestation charges or issues in Pennsylvania while he's championing the murder of babies. This just makes me sick. What do we do about this guy? I mean, what do we do? What do we do? He shouldn't hold office, Frank.
It's up to Pennsylvania. But unfortunately for many people in the country, there's only one election, and that's every 4 years for the puppet that sits in the Oval Office. That's it. Every 4 years. That's the only election that people think about. And meanwhile, this Sims character, these are the ones who really matter. These are the ones who really matter. They collect a pension. They collect. It's awful. I don't even know.
They can take. I mean, he has the right to say all of that stuff to her. But I'm glad he did it because it shows who he really is. And that's where, you know, that's why free speech is important.
But we know, here's the thing, we know that these people are this. We know it. They're becoming more and more brazen and more proud of the assholes that they are. They're more proud of it than ever. My whole thing is, are people going to stop being polite about being demeaned in the most hypocritical way?
I don't know. For anybody to be able to get away with expressing an opinion in a non-violent way outside of a building that tears children apart physically is just unbelievable.
We know who they are, Frank, and they're showing themselves more brazenly. But I got to tell you, underneath the tweet where he's basically excoriating Live Action, who is the ones who took this footage and did what they did with it, put it together, like, because it was just his Periscope. But then Live Action put a spotlight on it. He's basically, you know, telling them how they're racist and bigoted, right, in his tweet. And it is so ratioed. There are 4,000 or 5,000 comments underneath it and like 300 retweets. And even the left is attacking him for what he's doing. Good. So normal, everyday people like on the left who say, yo, man, I'm pro-choice, but this isn't okay. Like, why are you doing this to this poor woman? It's, you know, there are things that we can do to hold our elected officials accountable in their jobs. And one of them is impeachment or censure or whatever Pennsylvania could do if enough people get angry about this. He has free speech, but he doesn't have it without consequences. And those consequences aren't being thrown in jail or burned at the stake. They're the people have decided that your views don't represent what they're, you know, about, and we don't want you anymore. And that's something that's on the books. There is another video that came out over the weekend. It was a pro-choice or a pro-life group did a sort of a ceremony where they put like hundreds of crosses on the ground and said that it was like the burial grounds of the dead babies.
Oh, I saw this disgusting display. I saw this. What happened? The dancing on in the makeshift graveyard afterwards,
saying they wanted to piss on the graves, laughing and joking and saying pointing and saying, "Look, there's mine."
Yeah, no, it's these are people that are gone. They've lost everything. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. And as far as those people out there who, you know, who identify as Democrats or whatever, and they come out and they actually see what this Sims guy does as being wrong or anything like that, or any of those who are, I don't know, some people would say there is no moderate pro-choice position, but those who are a little bit more moderate and not as celebratory in their view on a person's ability to make that decision about whether or not they can go through with the pregnancy or not. Well, for them to see what is going on in Virginia and New York and say, this even frightens me. The whole point here is they need to stop being silent.
Yeah.
They need to stop being silent.
Yep.
Because if this Sims guy, they only feel empowered to do something as ridiculous as this because they probably really do feel, oh, wow, well, this would really get some attention. I might be able to launch myself into the stratosphere as far as political contention in the future if I can just show how much of a warrior I am. Because many people think that this is really what everybody is hungry for, this kind of activism. But it's because there's probably so many Democrats out there that still don't want to see a schism in their party because they don't want to see them keep losing in the polls by splitting the vote. But they got to wake up. They got to wake up and maybe take a couple of lumps on the chin to be able to reset this thing.
It needs to happen. I was just talking last night when we were talking on the time. Like, I don't do a lot of global stuff, but on my timeline last night, we were talking about the announcement by Bolton. I don't know if you've seen that, Frank.
Which?
About Iran.
Oh yeah, Iran and Venezuela is getting me really upset.
Well, Bolton says, in a response to a number of troubling and escalatory indications and warnings, the United States is deploying the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group and a bomber task force to the U.S. Central Command region to send a clear and unmistakable message to the Iranian regime that any attack on United States interests or on those of our allies will be met with unrelenting force. The United States is not seeking war with the Iranian regime, but we are fully prepared to respond to any attack, whether by proxy, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or regular Iranian forces. And everyone's like, oh, Bolton, the neocon, Bolton, the neocon. And then underneath, I said, yeah, before you do that, before you say that, remember that last week we had a defection. Do you remember that?
Which?
One of the, hold on, I'm going to find it. It was a high level, person on the guard. Hold on, I'll tell you exactly who it is.
Oh, the one that fled with information?
Yes. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, I think he was the general, he was a general officer. And it says that he left with documentation. Now, there's plenty of reports out there. Obviously, you know, do you trust a guy like this? You know, whatever. Was he working with us already? What is the purpose of this? What kind of intelligence does he have, if any? You know, whatever. But that, and then with what happened in Israel over the weekend with the missiles and stuff, we started to see some people speak out here. And it was really interesting to watch who said what. So obviously, Omar and what's her name?
Tlaib.
Yeah. They both come out with their, you know, basically Ilhan Omar said, how many more protesters must be shot? Rockets must be fired and little kids must be killed until the endless cycle of violence ends. The status quo of occupation and humanitarian crisis in Gaza is unsustainable. Only real justice can bring about security and lasting peace. Real justice. What the hell is she talking about?
Anybody that takes – see, I've been learning a lot about both sides of this Israeli-Palestinian situation, and going back to the Balfour Agreement and all that stuff. I'm trying to get greater and greater perspective on all of it. But like I said, when it comes to people like Omar or anybody like that, I'm not giving them any credit for any nonsense, for any way that they cut it nice and clean. They cut this nice and clean. No way in hell. I'm not even engaging with somebody who shouldn't even this entire. I mean, first of all, I can't with her and the jihadis that are now sitting in our House of Representatives.
Rashida Tlaib says, when will the world stop dehumanizing our Palestinian people who just want to be free?
Our.
Where is she sitting? She's sitting in United States government.
This is why I said you want to say even with the UN, anything that has to do with the UN, I want nothing to do with. I think it's a waste of time. It's a waste of real estate in New York City. Get it the hell out. Get us the hell out. But it doesn't even matter. If we actually had the balls to get out of the UN, our House of Representatives is the UN. Our Congress is the United Nations. Our congressmen and women, for a large part, care more about the rest of the world than they do the American people. I mean, we pretty much have a delegate from Somalia representing a district in Minneapolis. I mean, this is just reality. This is absolutely. That's why I don't even get into conversations when it comes to giving brownie points to broken clocks that might be right in a certain way twice a day. I don't know what the hell it is, because they've got completely other. They have other ideas about our own country and our culture that they're just trying to undermine in their own way. So I'm not going to be shaking hands with an enemy to try to get a better perspective on something else that's going on in the world stage.
That's a good perspective to have, because there is no trusting these people. Not only that, but it led me over to the one lone Democrat who said something that no other Democrat said. And let me preface this, because people got mad at me and this kind of made me really pissy. Like, just because I showcase a Democrat and I talk about something they've said or they've done, or take a look at what they've been doing, and I say, wow, that's interesting, doesn't mean that I'm all of a sudden supporting or trust the person that I'm highlighting. Like, everyone's like, oh, don't trust her, she's horrible. This is, I'm talking about Kyrsten Sinema. And she says, I condemn the rocket attacks on innocent civilians and stand in support of Israel and peace. Now, she's the only one to say that. I'm not some big cheerleader for Israel, okay? I have no dog or pony in this in one way or the other. But I thought it was interesting that she said that. So I started looking through her Twitter timeline. I got to be honest, I was so pleasantly surprised. She talks about, you know, making sure that we have a secure border. She talks about keeping Arizonians safe from illegal immigration. Maybe she's pandering, but every single tweet on her timeline is literally about her constituency, what she's doing in Arizona to help them, the program she's trying to implement. Like, there is no propaganda on this woman's Twitter feed at all. Is this not what we're supposed to have in our government?
Yeah, I came down really hard on her during the race and all that stuff, and I was really upset when she won because we saw what was going on with the voting in Arizona. But I've noticed things like that about her too, almost like in the same kind of a sense as Tulsi Gabbard. She definitely has a mind of her own,
and
she's not afraid to differ from the party on important issues, especially when it comes to foreign entanglements. And I can give credit where credit's due with Sinema, but
like, you know, she says we're working with military and local leaders to protect funding for Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. You know, she says Arizonians are increasingly connected online. We're working to improve cybersecurity standards and increase transparency for consumers. And there's a segment.
But as far as Israel goes and Palestine, I'm same with you. I don't have a dog in the fight. I want, if they're going to keep fighting forever, I'd rather them just fight on their own and have be completely let the region over there who has to live with the warring take care of it, so that they don't have to worry about the warring and they don't have to worry about people, you know, who are traveling from country to country for whether it be commerce or vacation or anything else, don't have to worry about being taken hostage, or doesn't have to worry about, anything. So I always tend to default back to the region and wanting to get the hell out altogether. But I don't know. There's just so much more. And with every stance you have, somebody's going to throw five other nuggets of history at you.
Yeah, I can't even at this point. I can't even begin to unpack this and understand. It's so tainted. And this is the problem that I'm having as I move through this story about the Ukraine. I can't get a freaking unbiased view of anything. I have spent hours upon hours trying to sort out what the actual truth is, and I can't do it. And that's where we're at.
Because here's the other thing here too, even when it comes down to how Israel was formed and who was moved in on the Six-Day War or whatever the hell it is, there's also that aspect of it all for me where it's just like, okay, here we are all these decades later now, and if you're telling me that, well, it's unfair how this piece of land over here was moved in on or was acquired over the course of time through conflict and war and all that stuff, like, well, that's just the story of the whole world. That's just the story of the whole world to the victor goes to spoils. So there's always that aspect of it for me too, where it's just like, how much of this do you just chalk up to wars that were lost? And I don't know.
Well, apparently they're not willing to chalk it up to wars that were lost. So
that's why ultimately I want to be completely disengaged from it all and concentrate on American principles, because if we're concentrating on ourselves over here at home, then foreign countries become foreign affairs and it all just shrinks in distance.
There are a ton of people out there that cover foreign affairs very well, and I am not one of them. Therefore, I stick to local stuff like you, because this is, we live here. Yes, our foreign policy and what happens across the world is very important, but there are enough issues here right now for us to talk about, and I don't have anything valuable to add to the other story. So
yeah, here's an issue. All over the weekend, when you're looking at all the censorship headlines that are rolling in, people who are being banned on one platform or another, we keep seeing updates from companies like MasterCard pressuring other companies like PayPal. We already know all the problems that Patreon had last year with deplatforming people, taking away their living because of things that they said on other platforms, regardless of the context in which they said them. I mean, with all that going on right now, it hit home for me because here I am. I'm 34 years old, coming up on 2 years married. And, you know, I'm looking to take next steps in my life, maybe looking to try to go from an apartment to a house. And then meanwhile, I'm looking at all this happening around me with the censorship and the deplatforming based on free speech issues. And I'm supposed to be living in the United States of America.
Doesn't feel like it.
It does not feel like it to have that fear in the back of your mind, in the depths of your gut, to say, I could wake up any morning now and have everything that I thought was well earned taken away from me, and
at
not
the whim
know
of a tyrant, basically.
At the whim of just where it's sickening to me just to think that in one fell swoop, my ability to make rent could be gone. It's not like my shows declined in quality and people are leaving me for greener pastures. Like, I'm not taking good care of the product I once put on out there, and my market is leaving me. There are people out there who are trying to take away the ability for content creators and those who actually buck the system. They're trying to take away their ability to actually exist. And that's unbelievable that we live in the United States and this is happening.
I know a lot of people, like, one of the arguments that I made over the weekend was like, some people, there are people who are eerily silent on what's happening here because they don't agree with the Alex Joneses of the world. But like, I was talking to someone over the weekend, I'm like, take Laura Loomer, for example, okay? You can disagree with her tactics and the way she does things that she does, but this woman is 26 years old. She made a career out of shock journalism and doing what she does, asking very powerful people very hard questions, okay? They have completely removed her ability to have a bank account, her ability to accept money from anyone else, her ability to share her news on the internet. She can't even have basically, like, she's one step away from the domain hosting company stopping her from being able to own a domain on the internet. She can't take money. She can't have a bank account. She can't use Bitcoin through Coinbase. This is just, I mean, it is, I said on my feed, this is worse than what happens to people when there are U.S. sanctions placed on them. And I'm dead serious. And someone's like, oh, how ridiculous that you say that. I'm like, no, I've studied this. Oleg Deripaska is experiencing basically the same thing that Laura Loomer and Milo are. Oleg Deripaska. Think about that for a second.
And doesn't Laura Loomer, she spends a lot of time asking hard questions of Islam as well, right?
Oh, yeah. She's a conservative Jewish woman who was ultimately deplatformed from Twitter for telling the truth about Ilhan Omar.
So think about this. You get this Sims character that can go that feels comfortable enough to go and harass an old white woman in front of a Planned Parenthood and harass her about, in particular, her religion. And that will be applauded by the same people who will take away your livelihood and your ability to actually function in a free country if you ask hard questions or put any kind of unwanted spotlight onto Islam, which is a pretty much a foreign political ideology that has been married to religion. And it's all right there in front of you where the biases are.
It's horrible because, like, you know, I feel like this, you know, that when Matt Gaetz was being censored on Twitter, it was like the biggest freaking thing in the world. When Nunes was being censored on Twitter, they were on all the cable shows talking about it and, you know, saying how it was not right because they were interfering with his chances to get elected. And Where the hell are these people right now? Where the hell are these people in Congress? Where are they trying to take a look at this section rule that these platforms have been abusing for years? Where are they? Silent. Where are like the supposed big name conservatives? Silent. Silent. Because what? Because Alex Jones said stupid crap about Sandy Hook? Throughout history, controversial speech has been what's moved us forward. Trailblazers. And since when are we not allowed to question our government? Since when are we not allowed to question the government about what is true and what is not true and hold them accountable? This is not some tyrannical regime that rules over us. We are the bosses. I don't understand, Frank. I'm so pissed about this.
I don't know. I don't even know what the hell can be done. Everybody keeps bringing up, but whenever we get riled up about this, somebody always squeaks about, can there be a new bill of rights for the internet? Could there be something else? We talked about this with Rich Barris on Friday. What could be done? But something needs to be, whether it be like an antitrust thing. I don't know what the hell it could be.
There has to be a solution to this. This cannot be like everybody that say, listen, I am not for government intervention. Okay. I am everybody knows when the Internet Bill of Rights was being paraded around like some kind of coming of the second, you know, whatever. I was like, hell no. Because as soon as you put that in place, when you've got, God forbid, a progressive leftist president like a Bernie Sanders or who knows who else, what are they going to do with that? They're going to amend it and change it, and then what? So I'm not willing to put that power into the hands of the government at all. But there are things that can be done, and there is something needs to be done. Because like people are saying like, oh, they're a private company, blah, blah, blah. Create your own platform. Okay, let's have people create their own platform, their own payment processor, their own bank. Give me a break. These are all private businesses, like a phone company.
Well, you apply that kind of logic to those who were picking and choosing who they wanted to serve lunch to in the South prior to 1964.
It's the same thing.
And then what? Or bus companies telling you where you can sit based on what you look like. So if we're going to talk about private property rights, you want to go all out? Does everybody really want to go all out? Because there were legitimate debates to be had about what even the Civil Rights Act did as far as private property implications. And what about fair banking practices?
Yeah.
What about that?
Not only that, but like, you know, they always throw the cake argument back in your face.
Oh, but you guys had the Supreme Court rule about the cake.
He still has to make the damn cake.
Oh, not only that, but if there is one bakery in all of my entire state that will not serve me for one reason or another, fine. I'll go to the one down the street. But there's not more than one PayPal we can all go to.
There's not more than one Twitter. There's not more than, I'm sorry, no matter what. Look what they did to Gab. You can't even get on Gab. They were trying to shut the entire thing down because of something someone said on there. Meanwhile, the dude was also on Twitter. I forget the exact name of the it was a terrorist guy who did some kind of horrible terrorist attack. I think it was, I don't remember who it was. Please don't quote me, but you guys remember what happened. And, you know, not for nothing, but why not go after Twitter then for all the people on Twitter? I mean, you can't have it. The problem is we're dealing with people who they're tyrannical nut jobs that really don't care what about our arguments at all. They don't care. Like, they're literally tyrants. And the people that are supposed to be representing us and standing up for our needs and wishes and wants as citizens of the country are on their asses doing nothing. So I don't know where that leaves us. Frank, do you have any ideas?
No, I don't. No, I know what's prescribed.
Yeah,
I know it's prescribed, but there's, you know, I mean, you can't, as John Adams said, our Constitution is written for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate to a people of any other stripe.
So we know what's going on with religion and faith, and we know what's going on with morals. Morals is if it feels good, do it, and anything goes. Everything is subjective. You cannot expect to have any kind of just outcome when the culture is based on whatever you feel is good for you is the truth. You can't have a just outcome. You just can't do it. So I know it's going to be stark for some people to really. I always have that in the back of my head as optimistic and as constructive as I'd like to keep the conversations. Just so at least we know why things are as bad as they are. At least we know there are people out there who are just floating around like a leaf blowing in the wind and will never actually understand how we got to where we are. At least we'll know. It may not make anything better, but at least we'll know. The topics today are infuriating. You see a complete degradation in the way that people act, in the way that these issues are approached, whether it be in the streets with Planned Parenthood or whether it be on the internet, where you have you're seeing people abandon the one thing that makes a nation free, and that is the ability to emote and actually put your ideas out. If you don't have free speech, you don't have freedom, because you will actually then destroy your own ability to learn something new by being able to get some feedback. Free speech is everything.
Yep.
Is everything. There is nothing that comes before it. Or else we're not free, or else then everybody is just living with the thoughts and the status quo opinions that are now assigned to us instead of being free to test new boundaries and see what works out, what doesn't, to temper what were old beliefs, to fertilize the ground for new beliefs. I mean, it's everything. And to see that we are doing, or we're at least witnessing people who are in very high influential places that are doing everything they can to make sure that that ground is made barren is beyond depressing.
They can get hundreds of thousands of people in the street to protest killing babies. And not for nothing, the March for Life had a lot of people too. But they can get hundreds of people out there for the Women's March or for whatever cause. And we... Everyone's like, conservatives work. I think we need to stop. We need to start making ourselves loud in any way we possibly can, because the people that I feel like aren't supporting this. And you're right. I'm all over the place right now. I'm so mad. I really am so frustrated. Like, you're right about what you're saying. If we can't debate ideas on the battleground of ideas and we can't go back and forth, how do we ever have innovation, right? How do we ever have anything better? If you're self-censoring, like this fear of supporting free speech, lest you also be accused of being a quote white supremacist conspiracy theorist bigot, is crazy. So like, we're granting the power to the crazy people that are censoring us because we're worried about what they think about defending people they've censored. Do you understand what I mean?
Yep.
So people are self-censoring because they're scared, and it's sick. I don't know.
As long as people go out to vote, it's all right. Protesting and showing up and redress of grievances and petitioning. It's important in a way where it actually engages people a little bit more. I can see where it's important. It's become a knee-jerk reaction where people, as far as protesting on the left goes, they're not even really just protests.
They're just congregating. They don't even know what they're there for.
Exactly. It's just congregations. But as far as everybody else goes, if you're looking at this from a responsible civic aspect, yes, it's important for people to get together, to listen to those soapbox speeches, to put something out there, to pamphlet a little bit more, to learn whatever. But really, if for all those conservatives out there who may or may not have a job and may or may not be able to go out there and dedicate any time to protesting because they have other things to do, fine. As long as everybody because if everybody shows up on an election day, I mean, there's no two ways around it. Things change locally and federally. So it's not so much about protesting. No law was ever passed at the other end of a protest. You know, laws are passed. Things are changed in within the halls of government.
What happened back in the day when the people were upset with their government? How did they do that? They didn't get together. They didn't get together all together to show their strength with one another. I mean,
how far back are we going?
I mean, however far back before the internet is in existence, how did people get anything done outside of the voting booth?
Well, you organize, and then of course, how do you let people know there is a protest? You have to get pamphlets out. You gotta buy up radio spots if you can get some money together for radio ads, whether it be flyers or, you're showing up at malls with whatever.
People don't like when there are groups of them outside of their buildings. They don't like it. It gets very uncomfortable for them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm just saying there are definitely different ways to act. And voting is obviously very important, but there are different ways to affect change. One of them I feel that is very important is that. If you can't do that, you're right. Absolutely go and vote or support the people that are doing it. But I'm tired of seeing like a paltry, 300 or 400 or 5,000 people at these things. I want to see more people engaged and this is just me. This is just my dreams and desires.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it turn around. I'd love to see all that happen. It would be great.
Tracy Uncensored. I'm usually measured. I'm usually very measured, Frank.
Yeah, I hate living with these nerves. I'm fine living around people that don't agree, and I'm fine with having all of our greatest debates and all of our greater battles laying ahead of us. I'm fine with all that stuff. It's the economic terrorism.
Yeah.
It's the economic terrorism that scares the hell out of me because I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing and what I want to be doing and what I've worked hard for and I know that I'm making this all about me, but every individual should make it all about them.
That's the only way to have any effect because
I mean, nobody out there is going to be planning my future except me. I'm not going to be planning your future at home. Everybody knows what it's like to make decisions and to make choices based on where you want to go, the next steps in your life. And it's very rare that you have any other impediments in front of you other than what you create for yourself or what you have to, what work you have to put in. It's very startling to me that the only hurdles in front, the hurdles in front of me are my biggest ones are not how much work I want to put into it, because I know I'll put the work in.
Yeah.
My biggest hurdles is what are these freaks in Silicon Valley with all of their, what are these highly religious freaks? For all the bashing of Christians they like to do, they're very religious people. You know, when everything that they talk about and debate boils down to whether you're a believer or a denier. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you pray the rosary or not. Those are religious people.
It's the wrong. Gosh. I know. Yeah. And there's no one in positions of power, in quote, that we elect placed there that is doing anything right now that I can see. You can say, I'm watching this. I'm sorry, President Trump. You can watch it all you want. You can watch it as your election chances get, when your most vocal supporters who are out there rallying the troops and exposing the truth for people to see and teaching people what actually happened during 2016 and prior and trying to get them more responsibly educated to be able to vote the right way in 2020, when they're all not able to speak anymore and homeless on the streets, you're watching what's happening is not helping anything. We need action of some kind.
Yeah, I wish that would happen. I wish that everything around the globe, aside from trade deals that might be worked out right now, I wish everything could be put on hold to clean out the gutters here at home. How the hell
I mean, just the political impediments that are put in front of an administration to deal or to even contemplate dealing with how our allies are getting tangled up in the weeds in the Middle East or something like that. Whether you believe we should be out there at all or not, how anybody could even say that that should be a priority right now, especially when Israel is just armed to the teeth. We've been giving them tens of billions of dollars of military equipment for years. They couldn't take care. They could take care of themselves. They're talking about invasion forces on the grounds out there. You know what? Just I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it anymore. There's so much. The gutters have to be cleaned out here at home. Why we're talking about and debating what's happening in Venezuela is beyond me. You know what we should do? We should send all of these countries down in South and Central America that are trying to figure out where the future of their nations are going to go. We should send them all of their armies back. By cutting off the welfare here at home, there would be millions that would self-deport and go home and fight for a better future in Venezuela and Honduras and everywhere else. We don't even need ICE to go out there and deport people. Cut off the welfare and everybody's going to go home.
I think that, as usual, I agree with you. But I think that what's happening here, just to end on a little bit more of a positive note, is that things are at, you know, when you're in a pot of boiling water and you fill it up really high, right? And you put the lid on it. And then you put your macaroni in there, you put it on high, it starts to boil, you forget about it. And then all of a sudden, the pot starts to boil over and it's simmering all over your stove. We're there now. There's going to be, you know, the Department of Justice is in the midst of holding these traitors and scumbags accountable. They're flailing about because they're losing their voting block. Because their voting bloc is starting to wisen up to what they're doing and their ridiculous push towards tyranny and the left. They can't win on ideas. So now they're trying anything and everything else they can to eat. If they were afraid, if our ideas were stupid, they would let us say them and have people laugh. Since our ideas are not stupid, they can't have us saying them lest we convert the people that are supposed to be their zombie minions over to at least individual liberty, for God's sakes. Forget, you know, fiscal conservatism and all that nonsense. Let's just keep them in the middle. God forbid that happens. So we're seeing like the last grasp, the last death throes of these people as they frantically flail about trying to save themselves from drowning into a pit of lava. And things get nasty and things get rough, especially when they still hold the power in certain institutions in Silicon Valley. Hollywood is starting to turn, Frank. I'm sorry, but it's true. So
how so?
Well, I'm seeing like Rob Schneider is coming out. Isaiah Washington came out. There's actors coming out of the proverbial liberal closet, like coming into the moving over and saying, hold on a second. Look at what Cher said over the past couple weeks. There are people waking up to this nonsense. And I think it's changing. I think the culture is changing, in my opinion. It is. You know, people are disavowing the Cardi B's of the world. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just what I see.
Yeah.
In the past couple of weeks, like just Rob Schneider just came out yesterday talking about the censorship that's going on and saying it wasn't right.
Rob Schneider's been pretty good on all that. He has been.
You know,
he's been good. And James Woods is gone again?
Yeah, he was suspended, in April because he basically made a comment about wanting to, you know, hang people for doing something or something to that effect. Like he made a comment that could be construed as wishing violence, and so they suspended him. But there's porn on Twitter. There's lots of porn on Twitter if you want to see it. There's pedophilia on Twitter, too, if you'd like to see that.
No, I don't like that. But there's some hot asses on Twitter.
Well, at least there's still something for you there, Frank.
I had to find something to laugh at some point tonight.
I know. This is bad. We're going to...
I ain't about that pedo stuff, but give me them hot asses.
If you take anything from the show today, take that from the show.
Take that. That there'll always be that. I don't know.
I'm going to end this now because I don't see what the point of another 9 minutes is because we'll just keep going. And
well, yeah. Hey, listen, it's been a good exercise. I did not see that that's his name, Brian Sims?
Brian Sims.
I didn't even see that until this morning when you sent it to me. So I don't know how we could possibly have started a show off with that freak and have had this been any less fiery than it ended up being. And I think that everything was said needed to be said. So I think that it was a good exercise.
I word vomited for sure. My heart and soul poured out of my mouth just now. And I know that somebody somewhere is going to be angry. I'm a little worried about it, but hey, it is what it is.
It's all good.
Well, Frank, thank you for joining me today. And we will be back on Wednesday at 2:30 Eastern with another episode of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums.
And beans. You guys can listen to us on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. See you Wednesday.
Later.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
So I've always allowed people to email me if they have any beef with me or anything I've said. Somebody commented on the website as well. And this is what it said. Your attack on the Holy Bible tells me all I need to know about you. You're against Christ Jesus. The Bible is clear on homosexual sex. It is a sin and in no different than any other sin. Your political talk has always been ignorant. But now the truth is coming out. You hate Christ and his word. I dare you to read this on your podcast, but Satan is a coward, so we shall see. All right, that's what I got on a message on the website. I'm a lot of things. One is not a coward, so I'm not going to be a coward to that text or message. First of all, I'm not a religious person, and nor have I ever said I was a religious person. I have no problem with somebody who lives by the book. I have absolutely none. If you live by the book. Now, the only person I've ever met in my whole life that lives by the book is Tony Dungy, that I know of. If you want to believe everything by the book, that's fine as well, if that's what you do. But do you believe everything about the book that was written millions of years ago, all right? If I believe that it's okay for a man to kiss a man or sleep with a man, does that make me the devil? If that does, okay, I'll take it. I mean, you need to check yourself. You need to look at yourself in the mirror, okay? You're still hating. I'm pretty sure the book in general, the message is not to hate and to love your brothers, okay? You're still hating. Like I said, it's okay if you want to live that way, if that's the way you live. And there's a lot of hypocrites out there. And I don't want to be a hypocrite.
You can find Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.